to what the Rama, Nirmalakaya, and Sambhukaya, Buddha, and Varakaya, Buddha. Questions that when Mr. Shin were reading, well, not in this discipline, but in different scriptures, I'm not going to understand that in person.
It is known as Trikaya. Tri means three. Three bodies of the Buddha. Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Dharmakaya. Originally, in primitive order of the Buddha, there were no such thing. It is theological understanding about what the nature of the so-called Buddha and all Buddhas. How it happened was although Shakyamuni Buddha told to his followers that they shouldn't bow to him, like bowing to the God or Absolute Existence. This speech came from awareness, his awareness of Nirmanakaya. Nirmanakaya is Nirmana means transforming. Continuous formation of the essence. You don't see any substantial existence stay at the same state forever, continuously change dynamically. And Shakyamuni Buddha was one of the remarkable figure that all traditional belief system he re-examined over and over again, and as you notice, religious emotion of mankind have created many images of gods, goddess in the past, and it is very obvious nowadays people speak of God or Absolute, but our term of talking about it is different from ancient peoples. Their belief in God's goddess behind all phenomena as a source of phenomena in which we are appearing and disappearing. To those people who believed in gods and goddess in mythological state of belief to very advanced belief in the God had a completely different kind of relationship than how we do nowadays. To most of us, God is not a fearful existence anymore. God is not the source of your love. God is very much like what it is, which we call true existence. So often times we sense that there is a presence of Absolute in terms of God. And that is what Dharmakaya means. In any sense, you can't see it, and yet it is a real source, real origin of all things. And real existence is what it is. But so-called reality differs between depend on what we are, how we are. Reality of recognized reality of this world by animal is different from how mankind observe it. Sambhogakaya Buddha is the most difficult one to understand. The Sambhogakaya Buddha is observed as two kayas in Buddhist theology, that is one is Svasambhogya Kaya Buddha, which whether you are aware of it or not, once you are in sitting in Zazen, you are that. And that which made you to be so is Dharmakaya. One who is participating to that is Nirmanakaya as yourself. Usually we call it innumerable Shakyamuni Buddha, Nirmanakaya. We are an examples teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha in terms of this is language, so you have to be careful. It's not that Shakyamuni Buddha, it is this Shakyamuni Buddha. People who believe in and put the absolute confidence in their life, identifying their life as Christ himself, man or woman, doesn't matter at this point, are the Christian because they know who the essence, what is the essence of Christ is. Realization is immediate relationship of absolute one and yourself as a transformed function of the absolute one. That's what the Christian means. Only thing is what God does. Creation is the most important task for them. Are you interested in that kind of complicated thing? You said the Vairochana, you said that Vairochana Buddha, you see Chanai, C-A in Sanskrit, it goes like so. In English, we put romanize this character C-H-A and pronounce Cha, Vairochana. Vairochana means the Sun Buddha, the Sun Buddha. And Ruchu means we call it Lochana Buddha, or Ruchu means light, that radiant light. So it can be referred to the function or state of the sun. That's Dharmakaya, and incredible contents, capacity of the light as the Sambhogakaya Buddha, which penetrates everywhere, you know, and when something obstacle comes, that light turn to something else, including what's in there. It transforms constantly. So this three kaya of the Buddha is very much not thought to theory about Shakyamuni Buddha, or Buddha bodies, but it's very organic understanding, the sun and the light and the living thing, something like this. And You cannot skip any of them. Three has to be as one thing. Although three are not different, three are obviously different. That is Mahayana Buddhist understanding. It is completed in India, and it has been traveling through Buddhist country as a background thought of understanding about what Buddha's natures are. In the sitting, those three merge into each other and lose its name, and we don't speak of our body and mind as Shakyamuni Buddha either. We are just what we are, who we are.
Motivation to the healing arts. Like, what are we healing? Why do you help? What's that, you know, that drive to help heal? It's the bodhisattva.
This is a very big question. West Coast.
Yeah.
Very powerful activity go on. You know more than myself.
No.
No?
Well, I know it's a big thing on the West Coast, but I'd like to know how it would be, how the tradition of healing, you know, is expressed or exemplified in the life of Buddhism.
You say tradition.
Well,
it is. I think it's something to do with mind state, very, very sensitive about well balanced functioning of body and mind. And when something wrong, we pick it up immediately and want to bring it back to normal state. Even we don't know what normal means. Somewhat feeling of recovery. That tells that how deep we are concerning about total happiness of all human beings in very larger scale of healing. At this point we are involving very much about helpless sickness, and healer is If it's minor problems, you can go to any place, you know. Even you can just sit a few minutes and heal it by yourself. Exhaustion is easy to recover by being just still, you know, without lying down and sleep. You just stop moving, expelling your energy without any purpose. You know. You just sit still somewhere be very still and quiet and do not think about anything. You know. Which recovers yourself from exhausted state. Even just holding your thumb and putting your thumb like this, you can try. You know, hold your thumb pretty firmly. How you feel? Together, you know. This is a healing, a very basic. And putting your legs together, and not making a knot by your both legs. You know. Here, that causes extremely powerful sensation here, which you say very painful. And pressing your blood current by both foot. Cause very little current of your blood in the legs. That means lots of, if you stretch your feet, all blood go far place from the heart. That means heart has to work very hard. When the blood is very much together in this body, heart doesn't need to beat so hard. So all posture we take is a healing, if we say it, healing from sickness or exhaustion. Many people lie down in the hospital and nurses and medication, but what's most helping them is lying down still and take lots of time to be very still. Our bodies extremely fine organism. There are many areas of healing, psychic healing, actually physical healing. Physical healing is from a very natural state to very one sense, very abstractive. Unable to understand why it is so, but extreme condition turned to extreme health. like a lot of times Christ dead, which we nowadays we don't think he did it. And Christ was one who let them do it. This means he didn't have any psychic power to crippled one to start to walk, but he went into, he threw some powerful words into some people, that person, and almost contradictory way he brought them back from weakness. Weakness and strength, as you notice, it relates with recognition. If we say I'm weak, that doesn't mean you are weak. You just feel so. It's the same as by the end of the day you become very drowsy because long day your body is working. So it's very natural, but exhaustions, heavy feelings and drowsiness make you feel you have no energy. There is no such thing, there is no energy. You just feel that way. So if we look through the life conditions, through this perseverance of healing, everything is seen as a healing process. If you see the whole energy patterns through the sensation of sickness, healthiness. Nowadays we have no healthy person at all. Everyone is sick because they feel that way more or less. Medieval time, everybody felt guilty because the sensation of darkness, living through dark ages, was extremely painful for them. The more mankind awareness go toward independence. Tomorrow is an independence day. Tonight is a firecracker. A firework day, isn't it? Are you going to see? The more we direct our life to the completion of independence, the more we get shaky about sick feeling and lonely feeling, as well as complete freedom to do things as you wish. The more we go on, the more we long for others to join to you. Individuality is a natural understanding, but independency cannot be just the ideal goal that you are directing to, because there is no such thing. Each thing depends on everything. So to direct your dynamic to complete independence means you isolate yourself from all, finally. This is logic, and that logic doesn't fit to our actuality. So how to keep your individuality in the complete dependency, complete co-dependency is a point we focus our attention. Yesterday I visited Babaji for the first time, and he was very interesting. We had a wonderful time. Babaji. Huh?
The chocolate.
Right.
Where did you see him? At his house?
It was up the mountain, beautiful.
Ramadan. Ramadan.
Yeah. To take two children there, Dairy Swam and Wito. He kept 20 years of silence. I couldn't believe it's true. Just write and write and show, and Ma was reading it and letting me know what he's writing. We spent about 3 hours together. He was saying, talking about one of the saints, his lineage. His lineage, one of the saints. He was describing something, and finally he said, utter devotion make freedom possible, something like that. And I said, this is fine. This is fun to see what he writes. Utter devotion is a way of freedom, something like that. This, maybe I'm making it, but he spoke that way. Very, very hard for modern men to understand it, but if it is actually so, in terms of experience, it can be true. And the student, always a very wise student, always do this way. A complete openness. Whatever was told, he does, or she does, nothing else but whatever was supposed to do, he do it. This is how devotional form is. Incredible capacity that you don't insist, I want to do this, I want to do that next. Then I'm going to that. Finally I'm going to do that. The student doesn't do that. Nothing to do. Give up. And what shall I do for you? Very sneaky way to run. And most of tell you this first, next first. And about 3 or 4 years later, nothing to be done, and everything goes round that time. It's a kind of a traditional pattern that learning can take place, not just to Asian educational form. We have been trained that way so many centuries. Just a glance make you learn whole thing. And the mother is cooking and throw a teeny bit of salt, not teeny bit of sugar in the big pot. If you miss that point, everything come out strange food. By watching that, you learn how things go, what makes whole thing how it's supposed to be. So, through bodily participation, to learn is the most excellent way to learn. It's a way beyond any kind of indirect learning. This is not something very particular thing we always you each of you choose and have chosen the best place to be. There is no doubt. You may say, I want to go New York or Guatemala or something, but that one, that it's incomparable to where you are and how you live. Where you are is where you really wanted to. This is no doubt. But the brinks of wish appear and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. There you are. You create that. So vision is very important. Repeating vision which comes to your mind over and over again, good one or unexpectedly hateful one. Vision comes back to you often. You better watch it and work on it. I promise to not talk long. So, okay. Any announcement?
I see the crucifixion, not that I'm any authority on anything, but as a kind of compendium of misunderstanding on the parts of all human beings taken on to the body of the God person and transformed in him to something else and made again empty of any particular kind of manner of action, like good or bad. Well, usually crucifixion is seen as some kind of bad type of thing that God would kill.
No, but it's very supposed to be a very good thing. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Because
died for your sins.
Right, but it, in a sense,
it's supposed to make you feel
no
real
one,
guilty.
No one was, no one was, I think, real excited about it at the time. It wasn't a celebration. It was a great mourning. And but the point is that Elliot is there too. So somehow there is always a kind of totality of misunderstanding amongst human beings present. But at the same time, there's God's beauty in creation as well, behind creation. And that is the kind of balance of things.
Seems like one of the misunderstandings you're talking about is the concept of culpability and responsibility and guilt. That one of the major misunderstandings that maybe had to be corrected or something, which maybe didn't even get corrected after the century. So we're sinful, so we're supposed to be guilty.
The 20th century is another story from what it was. He represents that Christ-like attitude in the modern environment in the 20th century, and therefore the true fear of the
Messiah. Which people try to punish him too. Is a lot of misunderstanding. I'm sure we don't even have a close scope of what we really have. But if in fact the Christ did incarnate to atone for the sins, if, which is just one simple mark, if that did occur, and we incline into the Savior of the world of the creation, here we are again. If this loving Christ-like person incarnated, and here we are again in the same.
Yeah, we probably never left it. That's right. And like, that just, I even touched on the words of the definition.
Jesus actually say it, somebody else.
Oh, that was just the word that I used, or whatever. Whatever word you want.
Without trying to put in words, every time I think about those things, especially in religion and politics, was thinking about the original concept. And I remember reading in Suzuki's Ocean, Suzuki Ocean, talks about most religions are pointing away south, looking at some, looking at some. And the point of our practice is to look inward.
See, I think that's
not necessarily inward, it's because our point of our practice is pointing at ourselves. And also, I'm thinking of about something I read recently about some of the human traits. Nothing, maybe, I kind of asked Kuban to look at another social, which was apart from dual views, nothing else maybe had. And it seems like our mind is bent on creating dual views, and that's about all we can think about. The dual views, not that we're saying with human beings, that's what we think. That makes sense.
You know, I really think that Christ, that was one of the teachings. You know, that's what he really meant to portray, that the Godhead is with him.
Oh, I agree with everything that's been said in this class. I don't feel that that statement about other religions pointing away from itself necessarily has to be taken as such. Maybe there's some tendency present to have it be that. But I see that whole, like I see Christ coming into the world as a, you know, the entire situation that occurred was in a sense all, it was kind of a stage or something, you know. It could have, in a sense, happened if some great writer had had the power to impress people as much as the actual experience, because it's so kind of archetypical and it can be applied right onto our own bodies and minds. The entire situation is us. And so that's how my whole body feels, or being feels that Christ's life and the entire situation is my own. You can't maybe say anything with words about what the feeling is, but you can more and more live and understand.
Shakespeare's lots of story about that. He fixed him.
It seems to me, it seems there's a lot of misconception. There's a pain.
Ha ha ha.